That was pretty good for a first time. Y'all are getting better at this. I'm excited about this morning. It's going to be good. It's already been good. And I want to ask you to kind of go on a little trip with me for a few minutes. And I promise I'm not tripping to try to take us on this trip, but this is where I want us to go this morning. I want you to gear into something, click into something that you're probably normally not used to doing just all the time. But I want you to click in with me to your imagination. I want you to think about for just a moment what could be for your life. I am not asking you today, at least not right now, what about your life right now as it is? I am asking you to think for a few moments this morning. And over the next couple of Sundays, we're going to continue this. I want you to think about what God could do through you. Now, I know that many of us will automatically, when we begin to think, you know, that God might want us to do something for Him, that we automatically start signing off, going, oh, you know, I'm not capable. I don't have the abilities. I don't have this. I don't have that. We're going to talk about that next week. What I want you to just do this morning is just imagine. Just understand this simple thing with me this morning, okay? This simple thing. Here's what I want you to go with me on. That God has given passions and desires to each and every one of us. You have things in your heart that no one else in this room has. There are certain passions and certain desires that without a single doubt God has placed into your life. Now you may be thinking, now Chris, I'm thinking about my passions and I'm thinking about my desires, but I just don't see how this could pan out to be used by God. They can. And you didn't create them, He did. It is not by accident that some of you, when you walk into a place, you're automatically scoping the deal out and checking the thing out. In fact, I found myself doing this many years ago. As a youth minister in traditional churches, I worked for many years. I would go in sometimes and I would critique things. And I was asking myself, you know, why is that way? And why is this way? And why are we still doing that like that? That looks like something that happened a long time ago. That's not going to reach my next door neighbor that doesn't go to church. What is that about? And I'll just tell you, I felt guilty about, Chris, you can't just be always doing it. And there's a fine line here of being critical and critiquing. And I had to finally be given permission from another pastor to say, you know what, Chris, it is not by accident that you think like that. You are wired up that way because God wants to use that in you somehow. I began to seek that out, and I began to pray real hard about that, and that began to grow in me more and more and more and more and more. And then one day, God said, you're done with student ministry. It's time for you to plant a church. Some of you sitting here right now, I have no doubt God wants to use you to do some of the most incredible things that this world has ever seen for His kingdom. I believe that for every Christian. I really do. And I'll just be honest with you. I would love to sit here and tell you today that it's within 24 church. It may not be within 24 church. What God wants to do within you and through you may be something that has nothing to do with the local church. It may be some type of ministry that is birthed out of your workplace or in your family. You may be the only person on this planet that God has placed and spoken to their heart to about reaching their family. Imagine that. I told our kids workers this morning. I just was encouraging them and I said, you know what? What you're doing is so incredible to think that you are sharing God's word with some of these kids for the very first time. That there will be kids in here today that have never heard about the life-saving change of Jesus Christ. And you're going to get the opportunity to get to share it. And what an awesome thought that is. Too many of us shut the door on God. and we say, I'm not capable, and there is no way that I could do that. I could have done that. I could have argued 1,000 different ways why not to start 24 Church. Why would anybody come to a church like this in Pleasant View, Tennessee? Anybody know? It made no sense to so many people. I mean, you have no idea. I mean, I've got a proposal that is like this thick. It's basically the business plan of how this thing was going to evolve and grow. And I had people that mentored me and just challenged me to think this thing through and go, Chris, you know, God is definitely in this. You've got to work hard on this, and you've got to seek out as much as you can in planning ahead and praying through this thing. And so I began doing that, and as I was sharing that thing with people, they were like, and you're going to put this thing where? I said, Pleasant View, Tennessee. And they're like, where is that? I said, what's in between these two cities? And that's the catch, is that it's not just for a Pleasant View, Tennessee. It's for all of this area, and it's between two county seats, and it's no accident that God placed me here years ago to grow up here, to have friends here. God wants to do something like that in your life. I could have argued I didn't go to seminary, or at least I didn't make it through, a two-time dropout on that one. There's a little something for you. That'll encourage some of our college students. They're going home today. They're like, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm done. Preacher, he's good to go. Finish school. School is good. But, you know, so many different ways I could have argued this thing. Finally got the dream job in student ministry, taking care of my family. I was going to be able to play hot rod. We had a cool house. I had a garage, you know, and God just didn't care about any of that. You see, God cares about Him, and He cares about His kingdom, and He cares about how you and I fit in it. And so the question is this morning is, what are you closing the door on God to how you fit into His kingdom? Imagine on that for just a few minutes. What are some of your deepest desires? How could they possibly evolve into something? And you may not answer the question this morning. I want you to know that. But I want you to get something that I think that we as a church sometimes just miss, and we're real guilty of somebody coming and saying, hey, I want to help out and do something. We're like, hey, just come on, we need your help, and we do. We've got so many things, and this church is growing, by the way. If trends stay true, and so far they are true, and I'm looking at it being true today. I don't know if you remember, but back in November, we had 306 people, most people we've ever had on a Sunday, and we had like kids crawling out of every crevice, and it was like no chairs and bleachers and everything, and it was just nuts. If trends are true, we will be averaging that next month, and it's going to be crazy like that again, and we need to be ready for that. But more importantly than any of that this morning is where you are at with your relationship with the Lord. And the thing that I think that we've missed a lot is that there is a preparation that needs to happen before we go before God. There is something that David himself figured out. He understood it. He talks about it in the Psalms. We're going to look at it here in a minute. And it's that preparing for the race. And if any of you are into racing, then you know that there's a lot of preparation that goes into a race. I mean, just tons. I mean, all kinds of work that has to be done to the car, and the teams are always practicing to be faster and faster, so pit stops are shorter and shorter, and all of this stuff, all of this preparation. And unfortunately, so many of us as Christians, we start races that we do not finish. And that is why some of you are sitting here today, and you are a product of somebody that maybe got into serving, you got into helping out, you got into really seeking after God, and you felt Him leading you to do this Bible study at work or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden it just out the window, and today you're not doing it anymore. Why is that? We're going to talk about that. This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's in Psalm 51. And this passage in Psalm 51 is this just incredible thing that we see David. And I want to just take you back for just a moment, and we don't have time for David's life history. But if you just know the things that David has been through, he has been through so much. And, you know, I mean, just starting with the sin that he has committed, the things that he has struggled through, the things that he has had to go through in order to follow God and has not always been perfect. We've seen fall in Scripture time and time again. And what happens? David gets up and he keeps going after God. David knows a secret to keep it going, and this is it. Psalm 51, verse 10. This, if you want a life verse, if you want a verse to bring you back to the Father, to bring you back to the Lord, this is it right here. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It goes on, verse 11 says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This passage of Scripture holds within it everything that we need to go back before our God and Savior and start it up again. So many of us have been burned. Maybe you've been burned by a church in the past. Maybe you've been burned by this church. I don't know. Let me just kind of fill you in on something. Humans are sinners and they will fail you, including me. There will be times when somebody does something, and here's what's going on. And you need to know the spiritual warfare side of this so that you can deal with it when it comes. Satan is going to be right there, and he is saying, well, you know what they did? They talked about you at that church. Don't go there anymore. Don't you dare serve there again. Don't go to that home team. They did that thing. They made you mad. They shouldn't have done that. You know, and the truth is that they probably shouldn't have done that. You see, Satan uses human error all the time to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. I mean, do you get that? Do you see how huge that is? Do you see how much Satan plays on that? He uses the bitterness that we have toward people to keep us from doing things for God's kingdom. He's always in our ear about it. And this morning, you may be sitting here, and you may have something against somebody, and you're going, well, you know, they don't even go to our church, so we're cool. No, you're not cool. It's not good. That junk is going to eat away at you, and it is going to keep you from being the person that God really wants you to be so that you can do the big things that he really wants you to do. And we just miss it. And we push it aside because it's easier to be bitter. And it's easier to justify, well, preacher, you don't know what they said about my wife. If I had gone to every person that has said something about my wife, even since we've started this church, I mean, she's a terrible person to begin with. She's like the most perfect person in the world. I never understand it when I hear these things, but, you know, whatever. It just gets all over me because I see Satan win. And I hate it. It hacks me off to see Satan get his way in believers' lives when we know better. We absolutely 100% we know that Satan is doing this. We're like, we just fall right into it. It's like, well, God, I'm just going to lay down on it now. Well, why? Do you not want what God has for you? I could have never imagined this. On some days of my life. But I'll tell you when I did imagine this was on the days of my life that I was walking close with the Lord and he began to speak to my heart, and I had no doubt that this would happen. And I've told some of you before that it would probably scare you to death if I really told you what I see this turning into within time. And it's beginning already at our 2-year mark. We're, by the way, 2 years old, last weekend was our 2-year mark. That's a huge thing for a church plant to make it that long. It's a big, big thing. But things that have already begun to take place, such as us already beginning to be actively sponsoring new church plants. That's a big deal to this, because this is not about our kingdom. This is not about the 24 kingdom here, okay? If you didn't know that, we're like completely cool with other churches. We love them. I don't get the churches that don't. I don't get the pastors that don't want to talk to me. It just makes no sense to me. I've always been that way in the ministry. I probably thank my Father for that, but I am so excited about some of the things that are coming. And one of those things is that we are going to actively seek sponsoring new churches. In this passage of Scripture, David finds the key to, even after you have fallen down and after you have just completely botched the whole thing up, and we're sitting around and we're going, you know what? I have just completely failed God. I completely failed my team leader. I've completely, you know, and we just, man, we're just throwing the biggest old pity party. And we don't see David doing that. David's like, God, I'm an idiot. I am a screwball and you know it. I need you to do this for me, God. I want badly to be the man that you want me to be. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And it's in that verse of Scripture that we find a key to coming back to the heart of God. Because if we allow God to create in us a new heart, a clean heart, to renew a spirit within me, a steadfast spirit. That's one that lasts. It's not like an overnight, you know, oh, I had a frilly feeling at church today and it was good. It was good. I love it when we go to church and we got that feeling. You know how people do that? They're like, they're always looking for the feeling. I've taken kids to conferences for so many years, but it's like, look, kids, you can't live on the mountaintop. And you can't. You cannot do it. Life is real. You can't live in here. Your relationship with God can't be based upon this gymnasium. If it is, then you have a very shallow relationship with God, and I just want to encourage you and challenge you to seek after more than that, something that's daily. David comes before God. David's screwball, done a bunch of stuff wrong, screwed up a bunch of times, but guess what? He turns right around and says, God, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And you see, if we are saying to God today, if you're saying to God today, God, create in me a pure heart, then that means this. That means you're out of the equation. Other than just the willingness to do this thing, other than the willingness to follow after God, there is nothing in that verse that is about us. It's all about Him. Because a clean heart, a steadfast spirit, that's a heart that matches God's heart. And that means that our heart would begin to beat like the heart of God. Can you imagine? Imagine what it would be like for your heart to beat like God's all the time. I'll just tell you what. I went with our college students a couple weeks ago to Passion, which is a huge deal. Louis Giglio does, man. It's just in good stuff. If you ever get to go to Passion with our college students, you should go, which they're probably not going to do it for the next couple years, but they'll be back. Go with them when they can. Here's the deal. When I was at Passion, just really began praying and really seeking God. The first night that we were there, I couldn't tell you a thing that Louis Giglio said during that service. And I'm always, you know, very attentive, you know, to somebody that's speaking. I'm constantly studying it and the whole bit, you know. Louis speaks. At the end, he has a prayer time. And the band playing and all this stuff. And I'm just thinking through this and began praying through this. God really began to speak to my heart that I had become bitter. I've become bitter at people and at the church. And let me just kind of further go this, because some of you are like, oh, well, he doesn't like us anymore. Not the case. I was actually not bitter at this church, but bitter at seeing another church do something to someone that I love, and I just, I mean, it's just breaking me. And I just realized that that bitterness, even though it wasn't for this church, for this particular body of believers, I just realized, began to realize, and God just broke me. I began to realize that that was keeping me from being the pastor, from being the husband, from a lot of things, being who God wanted me to be. And some of you are sitting here today and you've got something that's just eating you alive and it's just as bad. David goes on in this verse of scripture, verse 12, it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Right off the bat, who doesn't love the word joy? Number one, it's easy to spell. You know, it's three letters, hey? J-O-Y, three letters. It doesn't get much easier than that. But even better is what comes behind it is a happiness. And you know what? What we do for the kingdom should be something that we enjoy. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of folks that don't enjoy themselves anymore. I see a lot of folks that struggle through even serving sometimes, and I just want to go up to them and just say, hey, God loves you doing this, but he loves you doing it even more when you're doing it in the right heart. And it's so much more fun when we do. It's so much more fun when we're just following after God and seeking after him. And that joy comes automatically because we get filled with who God is when we serve him. The funny thing is serving doesn't have anything to do with us. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And you know, I think that that may be at the heart of a lot of believers today. A lot of people that have been in church and a lot of people that have got preconceived notions of what church wants from you and all this stuff. Oh, they just want our money and they want our time and, you know, all this junk. Look, I don't even care if you ever give your money, number one, to our church. But I will say this, you need to be faithful with what God has given you because if you don't, he is not going to bless you. I'm just going to put it out there. And there is legit biblical stuff on us needing to give, us needing to set that 10% out and to walk around the room here after we're over and just find some people, walk up to them, and I just dare you, this would be funny, I just dare you to walk up to them and be like, hey, are you tithing? Because if you are, I'd like to hear how God is blessing you, and if you're not, I'd like to hear how that's not working out real good. Because I guarantee you, that's the way it goes. I hear this all the time. I have people coming to me, you know, we've not been tithing, and it's really wrecking our finances. And we were doing it when we didn't even have the money to do it. This is the other thing I hear so many times. So many young couples in our church come to me and say, Chris, we don't have the money. We can't even figure it out, but we're tithing anyway. And you know what? It's incredible. Everything is getting paid. We've got more than we've ever had. It's ridiculous how God has blessed us. And you guys have got testimonies of that. I know we've got a testimony to that. But this is not about your money and this is not about your time. This is about you being obedient to God and understanding that when you are obedient to God and living out life on the racetrack that he has put you on, that you're using all the right parts on your car to really run that track instead of trying to do it on your own. It's incredible. Our life is supposed to be incredible. But for so many of us, we have chosen to just settle. And my fear is that when we come to the end of life, that some of us are going to be standing before the throne of God, and he's going to be looking at us, and I don't know if he'll do this or not, but I just can't help but wonder, because I have this thing in my life where I wonder if I will get there one day, and he will look at me and say, Chris, you did a great job, but what about, why didn't you do this? You knew I spoke to your heart about it. Why didn't you do it? I wanted to change the lives of hundreds of people through that, Chris. God's going to do his plan. He's going to do it. If you didn't know, he's still sovereign. He's still sitting on his throne. Last time I checked, no matter what happens and who goes to the Super Bowl and everything else, he's still there. He's doing his thing. But we are supposed to be a part of it. But it's up for us to say yes. I'm afraid so many of us choose not to. Imagine what it would be like for just a moment if you had a clean heart. If your heart beat the same as God's. What you'll find out is that God starts to speak to your heart about things pretty clearly. He starts revealing things in your life that you don't need. Things you don't want. Stuff a lot of times that we like to hold on to. Sometimes maybe material things. He may say to you, you know what, you need to sell that thing and you just need to give that to me. Or you need to just quit that job and do this for me instead. Or you know what, you don't need, you know, all that stuff, or you know, whatever. It's a dangerous thing to go here. This is the most dangerous thing that any Christian could ever do, is to really seek after what it is that God would have you to do. Because I'll just go ahead and put this out there as well, and this probably won't just set real well on some of your stomachs. Following God is not always safe. As what we consider in this world safe, following God is not always safe. You say, well, Chris, I don't understand what you mean. You know, God loves me and all this stuff. And yes, God does love you, but God loves everyone. And we see in Scripture where some are sacrificed to bring His word to others. God may call you to a foreign mission field where Christians are killed in other countries for sharing the name of Jesus Christ. And you may think that that's the furthest thing possible from your imagination, that that could never happen to you. Well, I just guarantee you, you tell God that something will never happen and just see what happens. Because I did that, and you see where I'm at. 2 Corinthians 13:5 is a passage that Paul brings to light. And it's a great passage of Scripture, and it says just very simply, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Some of you may be in here this morning, and you may be saying to yourself, you know, sounds like a big bunch of junk to me, and I'm just not real sure about it. And if I ask you this morning to examine your heart, you might find nothing. And the reason being may be that you're not a Christian. That you've never invited Christ to come into your heart and change your life from the inside out. And if so, then I ask you to examine your heart in that way this morning. But for those of you that are a believer this morning, I ask you to examine your heart in a way to say, you know, what is standing in the way of me doing what God wants me to do? What thing is it that is right there that is keeping me from getting to who God wants me to be? See, the toughest part of this whole thing is that we've got to be humble. The toughest part of this whole thing is that we have got to let go of pride and possibly let go of stuff or something else that maybe stands in the way. I don't know what it is for you this morning. But I want to ask you to do me a favor. If I could ever ask you to do something for me, this would be it. Because my heart breaks for the heart of other people who miss what God really has for them in their life. And the thing that I would ask you this morning is if you don't know Christ, that you would seek that out this morning before you leave. Hey, find me, I'll be right here after the service. Whatever. We'll talk about it, love to pray through it. That invitation is always open. People say, we don't have an invitation. There's always an invitation right after this service. The other thing is that if you're a believer here this morning, I am challenging you, I am putting it on the table this morning. I am asking you to go all in. Quit holding back. Do you dare to say to God, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me? Do you dare do that? That's what I'm asking this morning. That's what I'm encouraging you to do this morning. And here's what we're going to do. Band, just a second, is going to be playing a song. I want you, just right now, I want you to just go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes, because I think maybe this will make this a little bit easier and more likely to happen. I say this from time to time. But I want you to find a place in this room. You may want to get up out of your seat, and you may want to go sit on the floor somewhere. And if you, we're going to have several minutes here for you to do nothing but just seek God. You and God, you're not singing with the band for the next few minutes or any of that. They are singing over you. And so I just want to encourage you right now, if you want to get out of your seat, get more comfortable on the floor, if you want to come up here and use this stage as an altar, now's the time. Just go ahead and get up out of your seat. Let's do that right now. Just go ahead and get comfortable. If you want to get on your knees before God, that is the most humbling position that you can be before God. If you want to show God that you are stinking serious about following after Him, this is your chance. Nobody's going to draw attention to you. Just get up. Just go do it right now. Just find a spot. Find a spot and do that. You may want to go into the corner of the room. You may want to get in the back of the room. I don't care. The worship service is not going to be over after this, but this is your chance to just kind of get alone with the Lord and just spend some time with Him. Satan is going to be messing with your head right now and saying, don't listen to all this stuff. Don't listen to what he's saying, because you don't want to do that. If you follow God, you're going to have to give something up. And man, that would be the worst thing in the world, wouldn't it? God wants to use every single one of you in this room. He wants to use me. Us understanding that and following after that is the most incredible and the most risky thing that we will ever do in our lives. And I am challenging you with everything in my heart this morning to go for that. Quit going for the other stuff and go for that. Don't go for your pastor, and don't go because somebody asked you to. Go because God is speaking to your heart. Run to Him. Pray the prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God, a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, bring the joy of my Christian walk into my life. Bring it back. I want it again. I want to follow after you. I know that there's nothing more rewarding than that. So the band just sings this over you and plays this over you this morning. Just spend the next several moments. Just spend it with the Lord. You're going to have several minutes here to do this. If you still want to join some of the others, just find a place on the floor, in the back, whatever. This is our moment as a church to seek the face of God. I'm challenging you. Run for that. Run for that.